You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Last night, I had the opportunity of reading a rather interesting article. It was bedtime, and I was trying to wind down. So I was reading this article about reality. And the question is whether we actually see reality. Now, if you're familiar with my theories, my ideas, you know that I have long doubted the fact that we actually see things the way they are. I believe that we have this paradigm, this model, this way of understanding things. But what happens is we assume that other people see reality the same way we do. And there's a battle in science about whether that's the case. There are issues with neuropsychology that talks about how our brain sees things and whether the way you describe blue and I describe blue, if we're even talking about the same color, and if we're talking about grass, what that grass looks like. Well, this author has taken a mathematical approach to proving that there's not a necessity, there's not an evolutionary advantage to actually seeing things accurately as much as seeing them functionally. Now, you may be wondering exactly why I'm on this philosophical idea, theoretical idea, and how that plays into your help in saving your marriage. Well, it's simply this. I happen to watch couple after couple trying to get the other person, each person trying to get the other to see their point of reality. And so they work very hard to get the other person on their side. And what I notice is that doesn't work. In fact, there's a huge flaw I see, and here's where it comes about. I hear this probably on a daily basis, certainly multiple times in a week, where somebody says, if I could just get my spouse to go to therapy or coaching or to a retreat or to read a book or whatever it is, then everything would be okay. Or they say, if I could just get my spouse to see, and then you can fill in the blank, how important life is, how important the family is, how important your love is, how much you love them, right? Or I hear, if I could convince my spouse not to divorce. Or if I could make my spouse see I am changing. I want you to notice those three beginnings. If I could convince, if I could get, if I could make. Those are the places where we're trying to challenge somebody else's reality. And there's a problem with that. Whenever we're trying to get somebody to do something, to convince, to make, to cause somebody to do or see something, we're at a difficult place. We're at a place where we're probably using some force. We're trying to force our view of reality onto that person. We're trying to manipulate them into seeing it that way. Now, let me be clear that when I say manipulation, every communication we have is in some ways some level of manipulation. You know, if I am looking at that puppy in the window and I'm saying to my wife, oh, isn't that a cute puppy? Wouldn't that be a great pet? There's a level of that that's me trying to manipulate the situation to move towards us taking that puppy home. So recognize that in most communication, there is that element. But I'm talking about more manipulation of trying to pull that person over to your side. Or badgering. That's another piece I see in this is people start badgering. Can't you see that our marriage is worth saving? Can't you see what happens if you do this? Why don't you want to save our marriage? And on it goes, badgering, 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 all because you're trying to get, convince, make, or cause that person to see it your way. Or maybe it's reasoning. You know, you have those ideas in your head, that intellectual spot where you've come up with the top 10 reasons why they should save the relationship. The problem is your reasons are emotions, and you're probably looking at their reasons as emotion, right? And so in the end, there's a block because it's emotion versus emotion. The reasons end up being things that neither one of you are going to listen to the other person. Or how about arguing? I see this all the time because the person feels so strongly that they've got to convince, get, make, or cause their spouse to see things differently, that they're arguing the point. Notice what happens in that. Suddenly, the conflict area goes up. And they may be arguing the point only from one side. Maybe the spouse isn't saying a word. That doesn't make it less of an argument. An argument is, in my definition, two different people with two different ideas, trying to convince the other person to see it their way. And that's where we get into trouble, because now it's you, your view versus my view. I'm not going to give up my view. And by the way, the other person's probably not going to give up their view. And so we're just talking at each other, not with each other, not listening. And so in the process, we hit something that's very dangerous. This is what social psychologists call psychological reactance. Psychological reactance is a nice term to say that if you tell me and I feel like you're telling me something, even if I agree with it, I will resist it. Even if I agree with it, if I feel like you're telling it to me, I will resist it. Now, it's a little bit different. Maybe you're listening to this and you're going, well, you're telling me something. But it's different when you seek out somebody's advice. You know, if I go to an attorney, I say, hey, help me out with this contract. I'm not going to resist their information. Or if I go to a doctor and say, help me out with my knee, it's hurting, and they give me advice, I'm not going to resist that. But if somebody else, without my permission, tries to get me to see it their way, even if I agree with their viewpoint, I'm going to resist. Now think about this. If unsolicited, your spouse is getting from you that you got to save the relationship, even if they happen to agree with you, they're going to resist it, much less if they are opposed to it, if they have a different view. Which basically means, unless your spouse says to you, hey, what do you think? Do you think we should save our relationship? It's not going to be heard. You're trying to get, convince, make, or cause your spouse to move in a certain direction. And even if your spouse is on your side, is agreeing with you, by feeling like you're making, getting, causing, or convincing, they're going to resist it. So right off the bat, trying to get a spouse to agree to something is fairly dangerous. Deciding as a couple, when you're at a good place, to agree on something, that you've got to conclude something, that's a little bit different. What we're talking about here is when you try to get a spouse on an idea that you have and they resist. So if you say, hey, you know what? It's time to replace the car. Let's sit down and figure out how we're going to replace this car. Now we're on a different page because it's an agreement together to find a mutually agreeable solution. That's different than saying, we need to buy a car. Let me tell you what we're going to get. Usually that creates resistance. So psychological reactance is a huge barrier to you trying to get, cause, convince, or make your spouse see things your way. Remember, that's what this is. If your spouse is saying, I don't want to save the relationship, I don't want to work on this, and you're saying you do, then you actually cause more resistance by trying to convince them of that. You cause more resistance, not less. They're not likely to see it your way. They've already got a viewpoint. In fact, they may be trying to get you to see that there's no reason to save the relationship, and you may be in a point of psychological reactance against that too. So the primary reason to understand why you don't want to get into this area of getting, causing, making, or convincing a spouse to do something is because of this psychological reactance. So one more time, psychological reactance is the tendency of people to resist an idea, even if they are in agreement, if they feel like that idea is being pushed upon them. The second reason is because in the process of all of this convincing, arguing, all of that work, you create anger. And oftentimes, at this point in the relationship, the spouse doesn't even express the anger. They might roll their eyes, rub their head, look the other way, pretend to ignore. And when the anger does not come out, it goes underground. And when the anger goes underground, it builds resentment. So you're adding poison to the system as you work to try to convince a spouse of this. You're adding more problems to the situation by trying to convince them, to make them, to get them, to argue that point, to somehow get them on your side. Resentment and anger poison the system, which brings us to the third problem. When we find ourselves at a place of trying to get somebody to do something, you've stepped into the issue of control. If your spouse has ever said you try to control everything, even if you don't believe that's the case, if you sit there trying to convince them of something, trying to get them to see something, trying to make them do something, you've stepped into the role of controlling. Now, you could tell me that that's not fair because they're controlling this whole situation. They're controlling the whole process. And I would just tell you that even if that's the case, you stepping into the controlling role as you're trying to save your marriage only sabotages your efforts. You give them another reason to say, see, this is what I'm talking about. You are always controlling. Generally, when I watch people, I notice that each person is trying to control the other person, trying to get their way. But you don't want the label attached to you because you lose again. So here are those three reasons why getting a spouse to agree with you is very dangerous at this stage. Number one, psychological reactance. Number two, resentment and anger builds. And number three is you step into the controlling issue, which is why I try to approach it a little bit differently. You'll notice that I don't have anything in my process that is about trying to openly convince, force, make, cause somebody to move back into the relationship. You're trying to invite the person back into the relationship. You're trying to invite the person to rejoin the process. Invitations are very different than making somebody do something. You can invite somebody and they feel no force or pressure. You can invite somebody and they actually can feel welcomed into that. So as I built my approach, I decided to focus on three areas. One is to build connection with your spouse, not force connection, not make connection, but build connection towards your spouse. You build that connection, and here's a reason. Connection is the absolute lifeblood of any relationship. Just reflect on that a minute. When you don't feel connected with somebody, you're not going to want to stay in relationship with them. If you have a friend and you just can't quite make that connection, you're not likely to keep trying. Connection is how humans are wired. So we have to restore the connection to get back to a functioning relationship. Which leads us to the second area. In order to build that connection, we want to bring our best self to the process. And so the other piece is while we're inviting a spouse to step back into the relationship and inviting a spouse into more connection, we're working our own place of change, of becoming who we need to be. Let me be clear. I feel the need to say this as a disclaimer every time. I'm not saying there's anything broken or wrong with you. I do believe that all of us have places to grow into, places where we can be more of ourselves, better selves, places where we need to show up more, places where we need to clear out and maybe raise our standards and understand our boundaries more appropriately. Those are the changes that I'm talking about. And so as we work towards those changes, we bring a better self into that connection point, which then allows us to the third part of the process, to start following a different path. If you've ever found yourself saying, I just want to get back to where we were, please strike that thought from your mind. You don't want to get back to where you were because where you were is how you got to where you are. You want to be at a different place. You want a different relationship than you've had. So you're building a different path that you can follow. This is that process for me of becoming a we, a team. You have each other's back, of your best selves, not just two people kind of clumping together, but bringing your best self to the relationship so that the two of you can walk that path together. The we of the relationship can walk that path together. Instead of trying to convince a spouse, of making a spouse see something, of getting a spouse to do something, of somehow causing your spouse to do something, you want to focus on building connection, inviting them back into that connection, changing yourself, creating a new place for yourself, a higher self, a better self, and creating that new path. If you need help with that, please, please grab my system, the Save the Marriage system. If you have that, and by the way, you get that at savethemarriage.com, but if you have that system and you still find that you need some help with that, I've got some specialized tools. Sometimes the system needs a little more help. You need a little more guidance. And so I have some specialized tools. You can contact me about joining me in the VIP virtual coaching program, which has lots of tools and coaching and other ways of moving you to that higher place. This is Lee Balcom wishing you the best as you save your marriage.
You've You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.